it started in here.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. Gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one good thing that I've got. I won't let you down. So please don't give me up. Cause I would really, really love to stick around. Oh yeah.
Can you dig it?
No!
Can you dig it?
No.
AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Thursday. This week is flying by, man. It's already Thursday.
Yeah.
Your Thursday edition of Justice of Drew is underway. We have a ridiculously jam-packed show today.
Yeah. I think it's so full, like, I feel like we need to end it right now. Like, that's it. We're done.
You and I could probably just go home.
Like, we could just leave.
But somebody has to introduce the guests.
Well, you know, Sam could just open up the phone line, just leave it. Just leave the door open.
Dial tone of nobody calls.
Not complaining by any stretch. We've just got... Well, and it's funny, too, because already we have a lot of people on the show, and then suddenly we have more people on the show.
We've added more.
With more people
it's
on
endless.
The show.
Yeah.
Twyla Braze is going to join us at towards the end of this hour, I should say. She's our sort of healthcare expert. There's some legislation being considered in the House today that she wants to draw your attention to that, her words, could really decimate and do a lot of damage to healthcare privacy laws.
Well, yeah, and my understanding is, which I'm curious, is that the amendment is listed among being presented by this individual named Representative Nick Zerwas.
Yes,
apparently. So,
yes.
So this could be interesting. Maybe we even hear from a Nick Zerwas at some point
if
after
we
that conversation.
Today, we will tomorrow.
We will absolutely tomorrow. I'm sure.
Right after her, Kim Crockett from Center of the American Experiment. This is Teacher Appreciation Week, and she's got some news regarding the Janus case.
Okay.
That's at the Supreme Court. That's very relevant to the teachers out there that she wants to present. We are going to be joined by Jason Flores.
Yes,
Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah, he's got. I guess there's some amendments working through in regards to combating the opioid epidemic. So he'll be calling in right around 7:45. Just before that, by the way, we do have an update. We spent a good amount of time on the show yesterday talking about the Edina school board meeting that took place earlier this week. The controversy over the conservative school board member who had the audacity to go and draw attention to this this communist manifesto, in my opinion, that was written by a 10th grade teacher who subsequently had to apologize.
Right.
We actually have audio of that.
For daring.
Yeah, daring.
For daring.
How dare you?
To just, in a private group on Facebook, express some concerns.
That's not all, though.
So we got that. We got Jason Flores. We've got GOP gubernatorial candidate Phil Parrish. Calling in at just before 8 o'clock this morning, and Katie Pavlich from Fox News at 8:35.
Yeah,
I don't know how we're going to do this.
Well, and you missed one there too between Phil Parrish, and Katie Pavlich. Right. Kim Jong Un's calling in.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I didn't know you.
That's a late ad.
Yeah,
to the show.
Well, we're learning a lot about Kim Jong Un. I don't know if you know. You know, we'll get to this a little bit later on, but the detainees have been freed, returned to America. You know, and Trump has greeted them, and this is trickling out, Drew. But apparently, you know, Kim Jong Un, he's not really a bad guy. He's been trying to live up to his dad.
I don't know that
he doesn't really want to be his dad. that's what it feels like. You remember?
I just felt so much pressure,
right?
You know,
you wonder if that's the case,
right?
Remember Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Remember the guy in the castle with the son who always wanted to sing?
Yep.
I just, you know, he was supposed to take over the kingdom. He's like, I don't want to take over the kingdom. I just want to sing. Yeah. No singing here, you know. You can't help but wonder if Kim Jong-un was just like,
I never really wanted to be an evil dictator.
Yeah, you know.
Just, you know, I wanted to... I wanted to grow up and fly model airplanes.
Yeah, I just...
My dad was just so rough on me.
Yeah, I know. I really wanted to give food to the people, you know, but...
now that the dad's gone, he's in charge, we're like, you know, I'm going to change some things.
Really?
We're going to do things different in North Korea now.
I was only tweeting back at Trump because I thought it was what I was supposed to do, you know?
So much pressure from my family.
My dad was such a popular character in Team America. You know, I felt like I needed to live up to his tyrannical regime. You know?
Hang out with Dennis Rodman.
That'd be great.
Dad never let me hang out with Dennis Rodman.
That'd be fantastic.
I was always like, Dennis is a bad influence.
All I wanted to do was play basketball.
Just let me have my friends, Dad.
That would be amazing. That would be really, really amazing. Yeah. But it is, look, in all seriousness, it is really historic what is taking place with North Korea, and not just North Korea. We'll talk about this with Fox News contributor Katie Pavlich. You know, she has extensive background in Israel, spent a lot of time over there. This has not been talked about in the news. There's been a lot of other stories, but with that embassy moving, I mean, that is incredibly historic and significant as well. We talked to Pete Hegseth about that earlier in the week, and we'll get her take on it coming up just after 8:30. I'm more and more convinced that Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. As people's heads explode.
I mean, based on the standards that it's been given out in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Trump's done more in that arena than President Obama did when he got the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
All Obama did was win an election.
Yeah.
That he was a heavy favorite in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He was like the New England Patriots against the Cleveland Browns. And it'd be like the New England Patriots won. And they're like, just give him the Super Bowl trophy now.
Well, and it's only fair because if Hillary would have won, she would have gotten it.
Probably.
Yeah, you know, it's your Nobel Peace Prize. And look, we've added a little diorama of glass breaking, falling on top of it. We've made it unique.
I have no expectations that Trump will actually win the Nobel Peace
Prize.
No. And I don't really care.
No. No, I don't either.
But
I don't either.
Still.
And again, I'll go back to what I said before. I think that somebody, like a Chinese president, somebody, or Kim Jong-un, somebody around this whole situation with North Korea is going to get it. But the reality will be,
yeah.
Trump, you know, will have been the catalyst that will let them get it.
Probably give it to, like, John Kerry.
Oh, gosh.
You know, he set the table. They'll give it to Obama again.
They'll give it to the pilot who flew back the hostages. Made it safely home. 651-989-5855. Sam, scouring. Is it going?
It is.
We will bring you Sam's top five for a Thursday next. News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew, your jam-packed, overflowing with fantastic, intelligent, thoughtful guests.
Stop. You're really, well, okay, they maybe are.
Great.
All right. Yeah. Just don't, you know,
I mean,
don't prop up the rest of it so high.
Twyla Braids, Kim Crockett, Jason Flores, Phil Parrish, Katie Pavlich, Kim Jong-un.
Why? Kim Jong-un's calling in. That's right.
Just the best lineup of guests.
I should have stayed home. Well, at least come in for the five. And then can we leave after the five?
Can we just take off?
Just open the door up. Just leave the mics on. Yeah. Open the phone lines up. And then you just, you know.
Sam will take care of everything.
Yeah. I'm sure they can handle it.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. This is the time in the morning when Sam, our lovely, talented, and radiant producer, has been scouring the internet, has compiled the five most important stories of the day that you possibly could not begin to think about starting your Thursday without being aware of all five of these stories.
Number one.
Three detainees were freed in North Korea and are returning to the U.S. with Pompeo. From the Associated Press, three Americans detained in North Korea for more than a year came back to the U.S. with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. That's according to an announcement made by President Donald Trump in the latest sign of improving relations between the two longtime adversary nations. Trump said on Twitter that Pompeo was returning with the three wonderful gentlemen that everyone is looking so forward to meeting. The president, who had been hinting about an imminent release, said he, I'm pretty sure that this story was written before they came back, but now they're back now.
Yeah, they're back now.
But he greeted them at the Joint Base Andrews outside Washington at 2 a.m. this morning. Trump said yesterday before meeting of his cabinet, I appreciate Kim Jong-un doing this and allowing them to go. The release of the detainees came as Pompeo visited North Korea yesterday, yesterday, to finalize plans for a historic summit between Trump and Kim. Trump told reporters that the summit would not take place at the inter-Korean demilitarized zone and that the venue would be announced within the next 3 days. Singapore has emerged as the most likely place for the meeting late this month or in early June. When these three Americans, newly freed from detention in North Korea, arrived at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland early this morning, President Donald Trump was there to greet them, and the president was joined by First Lady Melania Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. The White House said earlier that they would be evaluated and receive medical treatment at the Washington area facility. Their families were not on hand for the ceremony, but the freed prisoners appeared tired, but in excellent spirits, flashing peace signs as they emerged from the aircraft. They were joined by a translator who said, "It's like a dream that the men were very, very happy to be freed."
Yeah, and you compare this to the tragic and awful story of Otto Warmbier, who was released from a North Korean prison in terrible shape. He came back, was in a coma, passed away shortly after that. I mean, this is still North Korea. This is still Kim Jong-un, and we shouldn't get too excited, and we should be very wary about how much trust we put in the things he says and the things he does. But it is really hard not to feel like we have turned a pretty significant corner in our relationships and our relations with North Korea.
Yeah, I mean, you look back to last year and where we were, and did some retweeting from overnight, individuals like Britt Hume who are retweeting people talking about all the dangerous rhetoric going back and forth and how it was just going to deteriorate relations. And no, we, you know, strong leadership in this case so far has yielded some amazing results. One national security expert on Fox, Harry Kazenius, was one of the first ones to come out and said that, you know, Donald Trump's, you know, relentless pressure has led to change in behavior, not just from North Korea, but also China, shown a greater willingness to negotiate with the U.S. on trade and implement the U.N. Security Council resolutions against North Korea, and says that he must be at least considered for the Nobel Peace Prize. And look, the Nobel Peace Prize, it's all for show. I don't really give a rip if Trump gets it or not. It doesn't really matter. But in light of, as you said at the start of the show, looking at the fact that all Obama did was win an election and he got it, you know, by those standards. And yeah, at least consideration. Can you imagine, though, even the consideration, what the outrage is going to be from the ridiculous Trump derangement syndrome sufferers?
It's going to be crazy. They're just going to completely discredit it, call it fake, call it a sham, and they won't. They will refuse to accept that, despite all of Trump's flaws, and despite all of the legitimate reasons why you can be opposed to Trump as president, or bothered by some of the things Trump says or does, or even some of Trump's policies. You really can't look at this situation just in a vacuum and not give him credit for what he's done.
Right.
Number two.
Israel striked nearly all Iranian infrastructure in Syria after an Iran rocket attack. From Fox News, Israel said that it struck, quote, nearly all of the Iranian infrastructure sites in Syria today, in direct response to a barrage of Iranian rocket fire targeting Israeli military positions in the Golan Heights. The Israel Defense Force, that's the IDF, said it deployed fighter jets that struck every target on its list. The targets included military compounds, intelligence operations, and munition warehouses. The strikes were Israel's largest air operation in years. The missile launcher responsible for the Iranian rocket strikes was destroyed. Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conrikas, a military spokesman, said that the roughly 20 missiles fired from the Iranian forces based in Syria were the most severe attempt by Iran's Al-Quds force to attack the country. It was the first time Iranian forces have attacked Israel from Syria. Conrikas said that four rockets were intercepted and the others fell short of their targets. No injuries or damage was reported. Syria's state media said Syrian air defenses intercepted hostile Israeli missiles early this morning that were fired over southwestern Damascus. Hours later, state-run TV in Syria broadcast a live feed of Syrian air defenses firing into the sky above the capital, and loud explosions and air defense firing were heard through the night. There was no immediate information about Iranian casualties, but Kanrykas said that the main intent was to target hardware rather than personnel.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with this. And
it sounds very complicated.
Well, you know, and there was a lot of speculation prior to President Donald Trump making the decision to leave the Iran nuclear deal. And we talked about this last week. Israel had already gone in and launched some strikes against some Syrian air bases where Iranian-backed Hezbollah had been. And there was a lot of talk about how Israel and Iran were getting really, really close to an all-out confrontation, not just one playing out in proxy in Syria. So you can, and we're going to talk with Katie Pavlich about this from Fox News just after 8:30, and we did talk with Pete Hegseth on Tuesday morning a bit about this right at 8:30. You can listen to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app. But it seems pretty clear that you have these things tied together. I think Israel was aware of the ratcheting up of tensions between Iran and brought that information out of Iran that showed that they had not stopped their weapons program, which was the evidence that President Donald Trump needed to leave the Iran nuke deal, which is now leading towards this confrontation between Israel and Iran that was going to happen anyways. In my opinion, and again, we'll talk with Katie about this, I think that the leaving of the Iran nuke deal puts Israel in a better position to have the support it needs to push back against Iran. I think if that nuke deal was still in place, it would have been very, very tough for them to get the support they needed to push back against Iranian forces.
Yeah, no, the timing on this seems very clear to me. I mean, this all started with the report that Israeli came out, the Israeli intelligence, to say they stole from Iran, basically showing that they were continuing to work on their nuclear ambitions, and that to me, you know, when that happened, we even said on the show, it's kind of setting the table for an increase in tensions and an increase in conflict.
The big question mark that stands right now is this a quick operation, or is this going to intensify? I mean, that's kind of always the case when you get into circumstances like this, especially with Israel and Iran, and it's just a matter of time until we know the answer to that.
We will continue with Sam's Top 5 coming up right after this.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. You're listening to the portion of the show where we're actually, it'll just be us. Because the rest of the show, it's everybody else.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. We have a lot of great guests lined up throughout the show this morning, but we are in the middle of Sam's Top 5 currently.
We've got Twyla Braes, Kim Crockett, Jason Flores, Katie Pavlich, Philip Parrish, among others. Who knows who else might
be? Michelle Obama just called in. She's going to be on just before the top of 9 o'clock.
Maybe we'll have her and Kim Jong-un on at the same time.
That'd be amazing.
That would be great. We will continue, though, with Sam's Top 5 for a Thursday.
Number 3.
Iran's top leader and lawmakers are lashing out at the U.S. over the nuclear deal.
They were lashing out at the U.S. while the nuclear deal was in effect.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
But now it's making some juicy headlines because it's...
That's
just what they do. Yeah. From the Associated Press, Iran's supreme leader chastised President Donald Trump on yesterday over his decision to pull America out of the 2015 nuclear deal, while lawmakers lit a paper U.S. flag on fire inside Parliament, shouting "Death to America."
Isn't that their like state motto?
Is that kind of their thing?
I think it's on their money.
Death to America. The government backlash reflected broad public anger in Iran over Trump's decision, which threatens to destroy the landmark agreement. While Iranian officials, including the parliament speaker, say they hope Europe will work with them to preserve the deal, many are pessimistic.
It's been very profitable for us. We really want this deal to stay in effect because we get to work on our nuclear program and still get lots of money.
They're kind of just throwing a tantrum. In comments before school teachers, the supreme leader of Iran told Trump, "You cannot do a damn thing." The exhortation from the supreme leader, who has final say in all state matters, follows a pattern of Iranian leaders declaring their nation's ability to resist foreign pressure or interference. The supreme leader described Trump's speech on Tuesday announcing his decision as having over 10 lies without elaborating on them.
That's so weird.
I assume there's some kind of like language barrier happening.
Yeah, to which the collective anti-Trump derangement syndrome sufferers are like, there's more than 10!
So many more than 10!
Khomeini, supreme leader, there are more than 10. Here's a list.
He also said Trump's remarks threatened both Iran's people and its theocratic government. The Supreme Leader said, the body of this man, Trump, will turn to ashes and become the food of the worms and ants while the Islamic Republic continues to stand.
You know, you gotta hand it to these foreign leaders, Khomeini, even Kim Jong-un, King John Noble Forum. They are so colorful in their... I don't know if it's a translation.
That's a really awesome, colorful, super villainy kind of statement.
Super villainy.
That's like a Marvel Universe villain kind of thing. That's something Thanos would say.
You will be eaten by worms and ants.
You know, a couple of things to just remember. You know, the Supreme Leader, Khomeini, you know, he's kind of... The way the power structure there works, he's kind of the spokesperson, the more outlandish rhetoric, you know, tinged one, as opposed to the president in Rouhani. And you're the individuals who don't like that we got out of the nuke deal are very quick to go and point to Khomeini and to what Iran is saying and saying that Trump has put everybody in a dangerous situation and blah, 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 blah. What's not being talked about are the people of Iran. And it's a lot like sort of the people in North Korea. Now, you're not going to hear from the people in North Korea, but there's a bunch of people in North Korea suffering. There's a bunch of people in Iran that are suffering. That those billions of dollars that Iran got in that nuke deal, it didn't go to the people in Iran, right? It went everywhere else, including the radical Revolutionary Guard and sponsoring more terrorism. So there's a big contingent of people in Iran that were celebrating the fact that Trump dumped this Iran nuke deal because they would like to see change in Iran as well and knew they weren't getting it under that deal.
There is a very strong movement for significant positive reform within the citizenship of Iran, within the citizenry of Iran right now. And my hope is that, you know, pulling out of this nuclear deal will, and then, you know, couple that with the action that Israel has been taking against Iranian military institutions in Syria, will put a lot of pressure on this regime and will give a lot of momentum to those that are pushing for positive change and positive reform.
Well, and we've seen in the course of the past couple of years where there's been bursts of controversy and pushback against the leadership in Iran. And look, when they are out there continuing to vilify and demonize us and demonize Trump, a lot of that is sort of their own show of force to their people. They know that under that Iran nuke deal, they had a certain sense of legitimacy that they could use to push back against the, for lack of a better word, sort of conservative element and population that is in Iran. So to what you said, there is a chance here, again, much like North Korea, there's a chance here that while things are very tense now, especially with Israel, the long-term effect of this, it could be very, very historic.
There is a chance.
Number four.
The Kilauea volcano may have an explosive eruption.
Okay, dibs on that for a band name.
Which eruption. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, which parts? There's a lot of parts there.
explosive eruption. It was either that or I was going to go with, that was my nickname in high school.
From the Associated Press. Geologists warned yesterday that Hawaii's Kilauea volcano could erupt explosively and send boulders, rocks, and ash into the air around its summit in the coming weeks. The risk will rise as lava drains from the summit crater down the flank of the volcano, and explosions could occur if the lava drops below the groundwater level. There's also potential for ash.
Can you set up a lava levee? Is that a thing?
No. No,
lava levee?
No.
Build a wall.
No. I mean, if you watch the movie Volcano, I mean, lava has the ability to actually roll upstairs, but I don't think that was scientifically accurate.
You don't think?
That movie's so bad. I mean, look, even by my standards, you had the dueling volcano movies of Dante's Peak and Volcano. Even though it starred Tommy Lee Jones, that was the inferior of, like, if I'm going to theme my weekend and watch a volcano movie, it would be Dante's Peak. Just saying.
Kilauea is one of the world's most active volcanoes. It has destroyed 36 structures since it began releasing lava from fissures that opened in a big island neighborhood about 25 miles east of the summit crater. There are now 15 of the vents spread through Leilani Estates and neighboring Lanapuna Gardens. That really probably, I'm sure that killed their property values.
Property values shouldn't have been that high to begin with. They're on a volcano!
It doesn't happen very often.
It happens.
It's one of those moments just a second ago. I totally forgot we were on the radio. I just thought we were all just chatting.
Volcano's awful. Like later, like in the movie, after the volcano erupts in the middle of Los Angeles,
Tommy Lee Jones is
standing there next to Anne Heche, and the ash is raining down around them. If you look, it's clear the ash falling from the sky. It's just shredded newspaper. You can see the print. You can see the print.
Are you serious? Is that what ash is? Because that doesn't sound like such a
big deal. No. That's what they made the ash for in the movie. They shredded newspaper and blew it all over the place to make it simulate ash, but you can see the text on it. Sam, there's a moment in the movie Volcano, I'm not kidding you, where the volcano rolls over wooden steps and there's a dog less than a foot away from the edge of it barking at the lava. Like that close, the dog would just be incinerated. Right. It would melt its face right off.
Yeah. It emanates a large amount of heat.
Yeah. It's horrible. I mean, if I'm saying it's horrible, it's bad. But this is really bad for the people in Kilauea, by the way.
Just
put that out there.
Also bad.
Oh, this is very bad.
This volcano that's erupting in Hawaii as we speak.
Which most things that I say relatively...
In real life.
Relatively speaking, if we're talking about cinema, volcano is bad. Real life property damage and breathing in horrible sulfur and dioxide emissions, that is also bad.
Number 5.
Tainted Lettuce has sickened 149 people in 29 states.
That's the name of my band.
Tainted Lettuce. Or sickened 149 in
26,
29 states.
Tainted Lettuce. Oh, you're ready to write that. Is that done yet? So, tainted. Oh, actually, is it romaine? Is that actually rolled? Yeah, it is.
It is romaine.
Okay, it is romaine. Tainted romaine. Oh.
I have no idea what's happening.
Don't touch me. I'll work on that for you. Go ahead.
From Care 11. The romaine lettuce multi-state E. coli outbreak month has now sickened.
Sounds like an official thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a holiday.
Welcome to romaine lettuce multi-state E. coli month.
It's a tainted romaine month. Every May, we celebrate the tainted romaine.
Yeah, just remember this. At this point in time, don't eat the romaine. It's tainted just for this month.
That's how it's worded in this article. It is now sickened 28 more people in 4 more states. It is bad. It's very bad.
Relatively speaking, to the people tainted by the romaine.
This is a really particularly nasty outbreak, so please be careful out there. Avoid vegetables.
You should be doing that anyway.
Yeah,
altogether.
Yeah. I mean, do what I do. Just eat the veggie straws.
it's close enough.
They count.
Yeah, zesty ranch and sea salt. Those are the best.
It's not okay.
But they're made from real vegetables.
That brings
it says it on the bag.
This is bringing the total. These additional 28 people has brought the total of 149 victims in 29 states.
Wow.
The bacteria has killed one person, but there have been no additional deaths. The problem stems from bacteria-tainted romaine lettuce grown near Yuma, Arizona. This is the largest such outbreak in the U.S. in a dozen years. 64 individuals have been hospitalized, including 17 with kidney failure. The sick people range in age from 1 to 88, with a median age of 30. 2 out of the 3 have been women. The CDC wrote on its website yesterday, of the 112 people interviewed, 102, or 91%, reported eating romaine lettuce in the week before their illness started. This percentage is significantly higher than results from a survey of healthy people in which 46% reported eating romaine lettuce in the week before they were interviewed.
Just as a point of clarity, this is one of those stories where I feel like, and I'll just speak for myself, that the jokes all should have been made after she'd gone through all the details, because now I just feel bad.
Probably.
Kind of serious.
Just being honest. Maybe you shouldn't put that in the song contest this week.
The number of people infected by the romaine lettuce could still increase due to cases after April 17th for some reason. That's because of the time that passes between when a person gets sick and when it's reported, which is a process that apparently takes an average of about 2 to 3 weeks. Investigators said last month that they are looking at dozens of farms as possible sources. Federal officials have warned the public not to eat any romaine lettuce. That includes whole heads of lettuce, hearts, chopped, organic, or baby, unless they can confirm that it's not from that area in Arizona. For example, an area in California is also a big romaine producing area. which is apparently they aren't as high of a risk. People also should avoid salad mixes that include romaine. I just had a romaine salad a couple of days ago.
Yes, so did I.
That's what we feed our rabbit.
You're going to give your rabbit E. coli.
Maybe.
Have either of you ever, I know I never have, you ever looked at a recall and bothered to see if you had what was being recalled in your house?
I don't think so.
I mean, I know the E. coli is this one is particularly serious. I don't recall seeing stories with an E. coli breakout. Usually, it's just people getting really, really sick. This seems to be obviously the more severe going back through the story.
Yeah, it's a pretty nasty strain that's going around.
I just wonder. I feel like people just kind of go, you know, they just. I mean, odds are. In the grand scheme of things, look at percentages. You're probably not going to be affected. I wonder how many people actually take these types of recalls and E. coli outbreak thing seriously.
Probably not as many as should. You know, probably not. I'm sure there's a lot of, like, I don't know. I know we have romaine in our fridge at the moment because it's what we do the little lunch meat wraps and we feed what we don't eat to our rabbit. I don't know that it's been checked. I don't know if we've confirmed that it didn't come from Arizona.
Should ask your bunny how he's feeling.
I will.
Good job, Sam.
Excellent. Top five is
a better job than we did. Horrible jokey jokes. Hey, out of the Associated Press, John McCain. Boy, we were chatting about this before working on prep this morning. He's torching everything on his way out, man.
He's burning every bridge behind him on his way out. He's salting the earth around everybody that's ever wronged him.
Excerpts of his forthcoming book, The Restless Wave, Good Times, Just Causes, Great Fights, and Other Appreciations. The 81-year-old senator, currently recuperating at his home following the recent cancer treatment and surgery, acknowledges that he delivered the information to then-FBI Director James Comey, talking about the Steele dossier. This is really infuriating, though, okay? This is what he wrote. He says, and I would do it again. Okay, McCain writes, according to excerpts published by The Guardian, anyone who doesn't like it can go to hell. Wow. He adds, saying he did what duty demanded I do. So you kind of go, okay, you felt like this is your duty, right? This is the part that's infuriating. I have no idea which, if any, were true, the senator writes.
Yeah.
I could not independently verify any of it, so I did what any American who cares about our nation's security should have done. It handed it over to Comey. Yeah, because he could be trusted.
Yeah, clearly that was a mistake.
You look at this and you wonder how this whole thing. I mean, you don't wonder. You get more evidence of how this whole thing got blown out of complete proportion.
Yeah, a dossier that was discredited, that was dismissed by individuals in the Obama administration when they got a hold of it. They were like, there's nothing here. That's what started this whole year-plus-long hyperventilating over Russia collusion.
Yeah, he went on in the book to talk about immigration, too, saying Republicans were on the wrong side of the immigration debate, arguing that it has been driven by zealots who fail to understand immigration's key role in American exceptionalism. And I find that as equally frustrating because it's just not true. It's just not true. When it comes to the debate over illegal immigration, it's never been about immigration. He knows that. It's not about immigration. People that want to see a secure border and want to see our illegal immigration laws enforced, it's always about the illegal element part of it, not about people coming into the country and contributing to us the legal way. And it really is frustrating to see him make these comments in his book.
There's some pretty significant health care legislation being considered in St. Paul today at the legislature today. Joining us next, our health care expert, Twyla Braze, to give you a heads up on what's happening on the House floor today.